So we're going to start a sugya on Trumas Hadeshen. Now, as a preface, okay, I guarantee you that Trumas Hadeshen does not sound remotely interesting, okay? It doesn't. However, as I'll show you, it's actually a very, very complex sugya. And what's good about it, it's got a lot of little tiny points, and each one needs to be defined. Like this morning, we're going to take up one of those points, okay? But it doesn't. It's not going to sound like a very intriguing kachem sugya, because what does Trumas Hadeshen mean? What does it refer to? Okay, so let's take a look at our picture here. This, right, is a mizbeach. Okay, a mizbeach. Okay. Now let's look for what? Korbanot. Okay, it'd be much smaller for a spice. So now, if we look at this diagram here, the kevesh, that's the ram. Okay. So as you'll see in the Rambam, the kohen, there was an avoda done every day, a temple service that had a lottery. Okay, where the kohen who won the lottery would go up the kevesh. Now, if you look at the top part, again, looking airily down in the Mizbeach, if you look at that top, notice there's a, what says Maracha Gedola. See that the larger set of little squares, okay? That was, there was an obligation to bring a large pile of logs and put it over there. That'd be one fuel source, right? Then you see to the left of that, there's the Maracha Shnia, the second fuel source. And then you see where it says north of the top, what's really, yeah, Esh Tamid. You see that little one? Okay, there was a constant flame there that they never used. So again, there were three. There were three. That's going to be very important. There were three piles of logs placed on the mizbeach. A large one, primarily for the korbanos. A smaller one, for instance, for the ketores, and one pile just there for one reason, esh tamid. Okay, just to have a fire lit constantly. Is that clear? Okay, there's nothing confusing what I'm saying. Right in the middle is tapuach. Okay, what does tapuach mean? An apple, all right? You see, you're going to smile, but watch. We're going to take off a machlokas this morning, and it's fascinating. Fruit, that's true, fruit. Okay. Okay, is that clear? So what would the Kohen do? We'll see this in the Rambam in a second. What would the Kohen do in Trumas Hadeshen? Trumas Hadeshen refers to the Kohen would walk up the Kevesh with his little shovel thingy and then scoop out a bunch of the ash that was in the Tapuach, okay? Because that ash, where does that ash come from?
Apples.
Okay. So we're talking about the korbanos. The korbanos would, without getting to specifics yet, the korbanos would burn on the mizbeach on that top part all night. And eventually, what would happen? They would turn from flesh, bone, into ash. Okay? Coals, basically. Okay? Now, to be clear, the coals would be scattered around the top of the mizbeach. After the kohen would go up and scoop out a bunch of the ashes, he would go down and he would dump them on the side over here. There was almost like a garbage receptacle, okay, that they put leftover stuff from the menorah in, okay? Leftover stuff from the ketores in, as well as the stuff from the mizbeach. Now, after that was done, these other kohanim would go scurrying up the kevesh, right, to sweep up a lot of the ashes, right, that were kind of hanging out in the side area, sweep them all up right into the middle of the tapuach. Okay? So far, so good? Finally, so what would happen is, as that pile got bigger and bigger, at some point in time, right, there would be a need to remove it, all right? But the difference is, and this is going to be one important point, it was not a separate avoda. The avoda was, the actual halachic temple service was one coin, one's a lottery, goes up, scoops out a chunk, we'll get to what that is later on, a chunk, puts it to the side. After he does that, these other kohanim, it's not an avoda, would scurry up, sweep up leftover ashes. If there was too much, they'd be responsible for removing a large portion of those ashes outside the mikdash, along with the leftovers that were put on the side. That's called hotzas deshim, okay? Which the Torah actually lists, as we'll see in the psukim in a second. So what's interesting is that there's trumas deshim, which is scooping out, without defining it, a symbolic amount of ash, putting it to the side of the mizbeach, and then hotzas deshim is the actual removal of lots of ash from to outside the mikdash, okay? So far, so good? Mm-hmm. Okay, so if you look at the psukim, this is open the psukim. I'll just read to get through this quickly. It says, God says to Moshe, Tzaves Aram es banav lemor, zos toras ha'olah, right? So God's going to go in order. He's going to start in the order of korbanos. What's the first korban to discuss? The ola. And what's an ola sacrifice is considered the most important one, right? It's consumed entirely in the mizbeach. But the first thing the Torah says is, v'esh ha'mizbeach tu katbo. See that? There was a fire lit on the mizbeach. What would the kohen do in pasuk gimel? He put on his clothing. Okay, then it says veheirim es hadeshen Asher tochal ha'esh es hola al mizbech v'samo eitz al mizbech. It's just spelling out what he has to do. He's meirim. Meirim means to, right, to laharim.
Lift.
Yeah. He would lift up the ash and put it to the side, okay? And then the Torah says in Pasuk Dalad, upashad es begadav. What does that mean? What's upashad es begadav? Remove his clothes, v'lavash begadim acharim, puts on different big day kahuna. V'hotzi es hadeshim chutz l'machaneh. Then he'll take out the ashes from the side to outside the mikdash, okay? God goes back to an halacha, in Pasuk A, ha'esh al mizbeach tu kabo lo sichbeh. You always had to have fire on the mizbeach, and then uviar le'akoin etzim bokeh, the kohanim would bring more wood up, and finally, God, just to reinforce his point for the third time, esh tamid tukad al mizbeach lo sichbeh. There always had to be a fire lit. Now, of course, since it says it three times, Yonatan, the master of drush, knows very well that the fact that it says it three times teaches you
three.
So the Rambam says in Perek Beis and Hilchos Tzmini Musafin, this is just all background. No need to ask any questions. Halacha Aleph. So, it's a positive commandment to have a everlasting flame on the Mizbeach itself. Fine. And even though, well, I'm not going to get into the metaphysics of this, even though there was a fire that came down from the heavens, doesn't matter. You still have to have a flame constantly on the Mizbeach. Halacha Beis. In the morning, they would misad, they were orech the Eitzim. They'd arrange the wood. So they would make a big pile, as we saw in this diagram here, a big pile of wood over here, okay? Now I don't care about the specifics, but basically it was everything in the mikdash, everything is hyper procedural. Everything to the point where the Kohen would take up two logs at a time. Not three, not one, two. Everything has procedure, okay? Halacha Gimel, there were two piles of these logs, fine. We don't care about halacha dalad. Okay. Halacha vav is important. Hamechabe ish hamizbeach loke. So if Yonatan Beer has a good sense of humor, he sneaks up to the mizbeach in the middle of the night and he blows out that candle, that fire. He gets malchus. Okay. All right. Now, in halacha ches, after v'achash misadim rachadola, after the big pile is done, chozer bor atzeitein yafim. They were very into fig wood, okay? Supposedly it burnt very, very nicely. So they would take that. So remember, the maracha gedola was your standard wood. The second one was for the ktoras that they use these atse te'ena for, okay? All right, maracha shlishi shalkiyum esh, osa sabachol makam mishiyotzim nebzbeach. So even though this guy has the third fire over here, it didn't matter. It had to be somewhere on the mizbeach. You had to have that third pile of wood with the constant flame.
There doesn't have a specific location.
No makom for it. Okay, a little weird. Okay, next. Now let's slow down. Halacha yud. Haramas adeshen mi'al mizbeach b'chol yom mitzvah saseh. So lifting up the ashes from the mizbeach is a positive commandment. Shenemar v'rimis adeshen. V'yavoda me'avodas kuhuna. And it's considered one of the services. He has to emphasize that. Why does he have to emphasize that trumas adeshen is one of the services in the temple? Because it sounds like... What? Yes, it sounds like it's garbage collection. Okay. Not only that, uvigde kahuna shetarim behen adeshen. Now, don't ask yet. I'll point it out. We're going to take up this issue as well. The clothing that was worn by the kohen, pichusin mina kelim shemeshrav shemeshravodos. They were inferior. Okay. Now, pichusin can mean a lot of things. Pichusin can mean specifically what can it mean, or literally what does it mean? Fewer. Okay. One way to learn pichusin is he wore fewer begadim. Why is that a problem?
There's
no. Guys are on fire today. No pun intended.
The Kohen Gadol is already wearing the minimum amount.
Forget that. Okay, minimum meaning what? Meaning, come on, you said it.
Yes, we're four.
How can you do an avoda doing less than four begadim? It's impossible. Yeah. Okay, the other way to learn pechusim is that, in the more general way, is that, okay, if you went to the Kohen closet, and there was a closet filled with the big day kahuna, they had the hat section, the boxer section, etc. There always were the older ones, the ones that were not quite in the same shape. Those are the ones that the Kohen would wear. Now, practically speaking, this comes from the Gemara. Why would the Kohen wear inferior big day kahuna doing Trumas Hadeshim? It gets dirty, right? And then later on, if a Kohen has to do a better, okay, this is going to be critical. In other words, as the Gemara says, if you're cooking in the kitchen, right, and you get your clothes all dirty, you're not going to use those same clothes to serve your master wine. So it's a funny idea because it's an avoda. Treat it like an avoda. but it's a dirty avoda. This is dirty. We don't want the kohen after doing a dirty avoda. And the Rambam says why? The Rambam says He says uvigde kunish torim behen adeshin. Fine. Pchusim. Fine. Shenemar pashas. What up? Fine. He says eino omer achirim shu bigde chol. Not that this is literally from the Gemara. Not that the begadim he puts on are weekday begadim. Elishu pchusim in rishonos. Lefisha eino derech erech yimzo kosel rabo, but begadim should be shomem kdeir l'rabo. That's from the Gemara. It would be inappropriate to use the clothing that you cook in to serve your master wine. Okay? Okay. Now, Yudalef, a Masai torment, another big issue, a Masai torment, when would Trumas Hadeshim be done? When was it done? Big machlokas. Ram says, Misha Zacha Litrom, whoever, what he called, won the lottery to go ahead and do, and remove the Deshin from the Mizbeach, Tova V'lovash Begdei Rama, he would go to the mikvah, right? He would put on those begadim he would use, umekadesh yadav raglav, and he would wash his hands and feet. Why did he wash your hands and feet? Because you can never do a voda before washing your hands and feet. That's always a prerequisite to a voda. Okay? V'achar kach lokech hamachta, and afterwards, the kohen would take the shovel thing, the shel kesef haisa, it was made out of silver, v'yaisan esunu b'miksoa b'in kevesh mizbeach, and it was in this little alcove between the ramp and the altar itself, b'marava shel kevesh, on the western side of the ramp. The notel as a machta, you'd pick it up, the ol rosh mizbeach, and you would walk up the kevesh all the way to the top of the mizbeach. Umenafez a gecholim helach helach. What's assuming fane? What's umifane as a gecholim? What a gecholim? It's our clearing out the coals. Okay, thank God we have someone who knows Hebrew here. The chosem in a gecholim shenis akub lev aish, and he would scoop out right from the middle a big chunk of those coals. How much? Right, now, what's a little strange about that, out of curiosity? Right, good. Both of you saying the same thing. We don't like that in the temple. We do not like imprecision. Oh, yeah, yeah. We don't like this at all. We don't like chunks. We want kezias. We want log. We want an isaron. We don't want estimates. Very bad. No. It's not his own shear. No. Okay. The yor of the matal arts, you'll see. And then he goes down to the ground. The hofeh panel that tzafon. Now go back to procedure. He faces north. He walks towards the eastern side of the ramp, about 10 amos, kapay tzafon, facing north. He dumps the coals onto the ground, about 3 tfachim away from the kevesh. Okay? That's where they basically stuck a lot of the other waste product, a lot of byproducts of the mikdash. Almost done. Yud Gimel, Achar Sheyared Zeh Shetaram. So the guy, the Kohen, after he does the Trumas Hadeshen, now, Ratzin HaKohanim, right? These other Kohanim ran up, Umakachin Adam Raglan, the Mehera, they'd wash their hands and feet, and Vinolanes HaMagrefos, Vetzatzinoros, they would take these rakes and brooms, the Ol Nosh Mizbeach, up to the top of the Mizbeach, the Chol Evare HaOlos, Vemura HaKorbanos, Lonis Aklu Kol Laila, all the leftover bones and organs and limbs and stuff from the Korbanos of the previous night, what would they do? Machziros on the tzadei mizbeach. They would push them to the sides of the mizbeach.
Wait, to the sides?
I thought
they would push them in.
Well, imen tzadei machzikin. Sojunos on the And if there wasn't enough for the sides to hold them, they push them back onto the ramp, not the ashes. Okay, we're talking about chunks.
This is like
leftover.
This is before it's
right. This is like, let's say you go up there and you see a big chunk of like flesh that's burnt but has not yet turned to ash. Okay. One second, Ellie. But then they rake up all the ashes from the sides of the mizbeach. Okay, the gorfin osaharima bipsachter. Umalino sarima gabe tapuach. And what would they do? They would take the ashes, scoop them up, and add them to the tapuach. So if I asked you, what's a tapuach at this point? What is this thing?
A pile of ashes,
right? Yes, an ashtray. Right, that's an ashtray. Good. They would add the ashes to the tapuach. Okay, the gorvim osarima bifsachter who kli gadol shemasik lesech morin sol damata, and they would scoop out from the pile again. This is not Trumas Hadeshin. Another big chunk. Take it down. Uveragolam lo hayu moridinoso elamanichan arima gavoa b'emsem zbeach. It's an important point. During a regel, they would actually keep the pile of ashes very high. Why? Bineishu who noy lemizbeach because it was beautiful. Why is a pile of ash beautiful for the mizbeach?
Because you look at the mizbeach, so and you see this huge.
Right. Look at all the action taking place, right? Good. Okay.
Isn't that little garbage, though?
Okay, so notice attention. It just looks like a big pile of Garbage.
No, halachically we say it's garbage.
So finally, Yudalit. Kol Misha Ratza Mina Kohanim, Mimalim in the Deshin Sharida Lamata, Umotzi Chutzel the Shefak Desha. Now any Kohen, if he wants to, can take the ashes that were deposited to the side or on the ground, any Kohen can get up there and say, you know what? I'm gonna take it outside the Mikdash. Okay. However, he says there's no lottery for Hotzas Adeshin. There is a lottery for Haramas Deshin. No lottery for taking the Deshin out of the Mikdash. No coin was ever lazy in taking it out. Okay, it was a joy. Now, even though taking out, the Raman's clear, the second step to this, taking it outside, is not a voda. Nonetheless, a coin balmum. What's a coin balmum? A coin who has a blemish, which means he can't do what? Which means he should be able to do hotzas adash. And yet the Rambam says he doesn't. Okay, you'll see why. When he take it outside the city, you take it to a place where the winds aren't very strong. Below Hazrimim Gorfinoso, Lo Yifarzinusham, meaning you want to make sure all the stuff stays together. Right? Why? Because you can't get off from it. So you have to, I don't know where this is located, you gotta find a spot where the wind won't touch it and it's left on its own. That is Haramas Deshin. Look at the first source sheet. Okay, that'll be your primary focus today. Look at the Mishnah. Let's see over here. It says Mishnah. Okay. Yeah, oh, this one, the one with the psukim on it.
Okay,
Mishnah. Go. Hechelu.
Ma'alin.
Not afar. Offers with an ayin. Afer agabe tapuach. So what would they do? They would place ashes onto the tapuach. Okay? Tapuach. Everyone, please have this in here. Tapuach. They put the ashes on the tapuach. Good. The tapuach. And where was it located? Good. Core. Sometimes it got to 300 core high. How high is that? Super high. Okay? It's a lot. Okay? You would walk there and you'd be like, wow, there's a massive amount of ashes on there.
Well, that's super beautiful.
Super beautiful.
That's why I'm trying to blow, like, take that off. Intrinsically, I would just
Yeah. All right. Wow. Zucker, look at the Rambam. Look at the Rambam on this Peish Mishnayos. Achar. Yeah.
Achar Sha'olin HaKohanim the Rosh HaMizbeach, after the Kohanim go up to the top of Mizbeach. Umasalkin. Umasalkin. Es HaKolavim HaIvarim.
So what does that mean? What's Siluk? Remove.
The
fats.
Fats and limbs. Shalom Nisrafu, the Mesh and Halela that weren't burnt overnight.
Good.
Osam ha.
Saniros, with those like rake things.
Uma Zirin Osan, lit Sidad de Hamizbeach, and they would return it to the side of the Mizbeach. Oma Maridin Osan al Hakebes, they would bring it down on the ramp. Mo Shalmar, like you say. Hoserin, the Garkin Eshut.
Afer. Now back to the ashes. They would go sweep up the ashes. B'magrefo shabiyadam, with the rakes in their hands. Now here comes umalin. So they would pile it onto the afer that was in the middle of mizbeach. The huwa nikra.
Tapuach. This is what's called tapuach. Ash osin oso arima be'emtza makom.
Hamaracha. So it was like a tapuach. V'lefikach nikra tapuach. So why was it called the tapuach? I'm going to use apple for now. It was like, well, the top half.
Yeah, that's no, it's a shape.
Just whatever, it's got like this shape, okay? Dome-like,
it's
all right?
Slightly round.
That's not going to be the issue, okay? And by the way, the Rambam also in the Mishnah Torah, he says the same kind of thing, right? He says in Halacha Yud Gimel, right? Yeah. Sorry, he says Yud Gimel. He says, come on, where is it? Quite. Yeah. Umalin oso aremal gabe tapuach, right? So again, and no one would ever ask a question on this. You shouldn't, right? What would the Kohanim do? They would take ashes on the Mizbeach and add them to the tapuach, right? There's literally nothing problematic there. And before we start the Ravid, this is one of the few times where 99% of Rishonim are more like the Rambam, okay? Like Rashi learns this way, etc. Look at the Ravid, okay? No. Look at the Ravid. Keep going down. No, it's on the page. Look at the bottom page. What? Yeah.
Roman was after Rashi?
Yeah. Well, I think, yeah. No. Well, sort of. Go, I don't care. Go.
Second page?
No, no, the bottom of the first page. Umasha Kosov. That's the Rivid.
Okay. Umasha Kosov, she hadishen shahib emtsa hamizbeah, the pile of ashes that was in the middle of the zeah, hanikra puach, which is called its puach, mara b'daita shel shalohaya sham
gavshushis acheres. There wasn't any other pile there. Ella.
Ella tel hadishen
hamechuna sham. Just simply the pile of ashes there. Okay, now listen to this. Read those lines. The Rama made a serious mistake. Okay? Now, usually you could pick up on a problem in the Rama, right? I promise you, I had to read the Ravid like three times to even figure out what was bothering the Ravid. Because the Rama, all the Rama says is, he says, what would they do? They would sweep up the ashes and add them to the Tapuach. That sounds fine, right? Watch what he says. Share. Ma'alim.
The afer al gabe had the puach, and the after shah coin motzi, kol yom, kol ha afer, hechan haya shem
shama tabuach. He says, one second. If you're telling me, what would the coin do? The coin would take the afer and put it on the tapuach, right? But the coin would take out the afer every day. So where was this tapuach? Where was this pile of ashes he's talking about, right? Because what would the coin be doing? The coin would be removing the ashes from that area. So one second. This is unfinished. There was never a tapuach to speak of. So what's the Rambam talking about? There could be no tapuach. Ah, but one second. V'chein amru, but don't we know there were times there were 300 kor of ash, and there's no way the Kohanim were taking all the ash off. V'chein amru pa'amim sh'alav k'shalosh meos kor. One second, but what does it mean to say that there was on it? But listen to this language carefully. The Mishnah says, on it was 300 kor. On it was 300 kor. Not in it was 300 kor. Or it was not comprised of 300 kor. Rather, what does the Mishnah say? On it was 300 kor. So what does that? What must that mean? Ella.
Tavla. Tavla. Merubes. Gavoha.
Ama.
Vahaya. Don't know this one.
Chafes. 22.
That's why. Al Vaosa Ama Hi Hashlemes Asar Amos Lugavoa
Hamizbeach Vehina Kristapuach.
Vehina Kristapuach.
Stop. So what does the Ravid say? The Ravid says that, rather, what was it? Okay? So there was actually a raised platform. When you look down, this drawing is not accurate. Well, I can't tell if this is raised or not, but what, according to the Ravid, it was square. But anyway, you had something that was raised approximately an Ama off, so to speak, up from the floor of the Mizbeach. When I say the floor, I mean the actual top altar, raised up, right? 22 Amos by 22 Amos, okay? That was the Tapuach. Okay.
You make it really hard to sweep on.
One second. Let's take a step back for a second, okay? So what's insane about this Machlokas? Right off the bat, what's crazy about this Machlokas?
Why do they care?
Okay, that's problem number one. Problem number one is this sounds like there's no question the outcome will be Metzias. Uh-huh. We can't escape that. Okay? But can I just, Yonatan, can I strengthen your question? What is upsetting the Ravid to the point where he's going to reconstruct the Mizbeach to fit this model? Right. Who cares?
Huge mistake.
Right? That's not a huge mistake. What do you say that was so wrong? Because you know what the Rambam said? He said when they shovel the ashes, they shovel the ashes onto the Tapuach. Right? Mm-hmm. What he should have said was they shovel the ashes to where? To the ashes. Meaning there were ashes there. Right? In other words, what the Ravid is bothered by is don't call it tapuach. Say, they add ashes to ashes. Now, one second. Right. Because you know what I would say? I would say, let's say I went to the beer house and there were leaves all over the front lawn. And there was a pile of leaves in the front. And I swept up some more leaves. I wouldn't say, what would I say? I'd say I'm adding leaves to the pile. So he's just calling tapuach a pile. Why would the Ravid say, this is a huge error? How big of a mistake? So big of a mistake that he actually physically changes the dimensions of the Mizbeach. That's crazy. I mean, I really should, honestly, that should shock you. You should ask yourself, because there are times when the Rambam does something which I can understand you get upset about. You know, this, I mean, what's the big deal? Right. It's like a semantic issue.
I mean,
the Rambam is just saying, listen, I call this, instead of calling it individual ashes, I call it tapuach. It's just a reference to the shape of it.
He says a semantic problem.
So there are two things to define here, okay? Two things to define. The first one is, it's a little bit different. I mean, obviously the easy, I'll do the easy one second. The harder one is, what's bothering the Ravid? Okay? Well, that has to be explained. Like, there's something about the Rambam's approach that he finds impossible to so bad that he's going to actually physically reconstruct the Mizbeach. And the second question, obviously, is how does the Rambam defend himself, and what's the machlokas? Really, what's the Rambam's position, right? There's two ways you can approach this. You can either say the Rambam would say, listen, buddy, it's just a semantic issue. Calm down. You could say that, by the way. I would accept that as a possibility. Or the Rambam actually can counter the Ravitz Kasha on his plane. Obviously, it's more, you know, for me, it's more enjoyable to try to take the second way. The first way is a cop-out. You could say that, though. You could just say, analyze what's bothering the Ravid, and the Rambam would just say he's not bothered by that. But I think there's a way to define the Rambam to actually counter the Ravid on the Ravid's plane of thinking. Second. Right, so Zucker's already sniffing something. The Mishnah says Tapuah. Okay, it says Tapuah. But I would say the Rambam would maintain that there always would be some ashes on the Tapuah. They were never cleared off all the way. What? Because
you see that sometimes it got
the fact is like this. I think that the Ravid would say that the fact that we see in Torah Shebaal Peh, in other words, like Moshe's saying, everything in the Mikdash must have a function. Okay? Must have a function. Must have a role. Must be there for a reason. Okay? I don't mean teleology. I mean, it must have a practical function. Okay? But to say, for Torah Shebaal Peh, for the Mishnah, to say, not only to say that they swept it on a Tapuach, but then describe the Tapuach as having a location, describe it in such a way, it must be a Kli of the Mikdash. Okay? You would never say, according to the Ravid, there's just, we're going to call this pile of ashes something else. If you give it a chal o'shem, that's the key. Right. If it has a name in the Mishnah, meaning it has an actual lacha chal o'shem, it must be something. Okay? A pile is nothing. A pile of ashes is nothing. So what's bothering the Ravid is, the Ravid's saying, if the Mishnah is going to say that this thing is called Tapuach, just like it has a Mizbeach, just like it has a Yesod, just like it has Yisaron Kli, all those things have an actual real halacha chal o'shem. Just to practically call something a pile of ashes, that's impossible. Impossible. The Mishnah never would have listed the Tapuach then. Or at best, the Mishnah would have said, there's a Tapuach.
A pile of ashes.
Exactly. It wouldn't need a name. Right, a pile of ashes. Yesha Aremash Yeshen. Exactly. Yeah. That's what's bothering the Ravid. Okay, so now the Rambam could reply by saying, I'm not so bothered by that. He could just say it's a language issue. How would the Rambam counter the Ravid? In other words,
defined by the ashes themselves.
But the Rambam is going to say the Tapuach. Remember, the Rambam is going to have to say, and if you're going to be in the Ravid's plane, I need you to understand this. If you're going to be arguing in the Ravid's plane, that means that when the Rambam says you're taking, scooping up ashes, you're adding it to this entity called the Tapuach. Okay? You're not adding it to ashes. Trying to find that. Explain how that makes any sense at all.
No, so okay? The Rambam would say the ashes.
You're going to go the Ravid's way. The Rambam's going to have to say that I'm taking this bunch of ashes, I'm not actually adding it to ashes. There's something called the Tapuach. But one second, it's just a big pile of ashes.
And that pile of ashes.
No, because I'm saying, if you say what you're saying, you're right. But the only thing is that there's no question the Rambam's going to maintain that there has to be an idea of Makom as well.
Yeah.
But it's funny, the Ravid seems
not
to be...
Not as well, just Makom.
I know, but the Ravid seems like a better option. Why not have a physical place called Tapuach? Yeah, I like that more. Really that where the ashes go? There, on that thing.
Nothing says that there was a raised platform.
Yeah. I know. All right, so I hear it. Language the Rambam uses is, they would add ashes from the side onto this thing called the Tapuach. When you see this big pile of ashes, you're seeing a pile that's a separate entity from the ashes that I'm adding to it.
Right, so you have...
I think the point of contention between the Rambam and the Ravid is like this. They both agree in this version, okay? The first version is more of like the Rambam can counter with the language issue. But I think if you really want to counter the Ravid on his plane, what you could say is like this. The Ravid's saying you can never have something called Tapuach, right? And not have an actual function in the Mikdash. It has to have a function, okay? So what function does this have? So the Rambam might say this. The Rambam could say that I'm going to say the idea first and then explain it. The Rambam might say that it's a kiyum, right? It's a kiyum. It's the analog to the Esh Tamid. Meaning like this. Meaning there has to always be evidence that the Mizbeach, and not just the Mizbeach, but the Mikdash in general, never closes. Okay? Why is that important? On a specific level. After you bring your korban, okay? So you burn, let's say it's a shlama, right? So what would a guy think? Well, actually, let's take the ola. You take the olah, you dump it on the middle. You nicely put it on the middle of the mizbeach. It gets consumed. And then what do you think when nightfall hits? You're done. That's not true. Even though the ma'isa korban's done, what still takes place? There's still a further burning of those things. You cannot get hanah from them. Ela applies, etc. The mizbeach never closes. So think about it. Isn't it a nice idea? See, the Rama might say it's a kiyum in the institution of mizbeach, not any specific ma'isa korban. What do I mean? What I mean is that, well, you have the esh tamid, which is the first step in the haktara, in the burning. And what's the evidence of the end of the korban? The ashes. You have the entire process in front of you. So maybe that's how the Rambam can abstract out a separate tapuach. He may say that it's not a kiyum in any specific korban, but it's a kiyum in the institution of Mizbeach itself. Exactly. You have an esh tamid and you have ash tamid. Okay? Dishon tamid. Right. Now, I'm going to propose this idea in the Rambam, by the way, you'll see, will work its way over and over again in the sugya. This tension, another tension. One tension that Joe picked up on is it's an avoda, but what kind of avoda is it? Another tension. What exactly is it? Is it, in other words, you'll see, is it a din in the institution of Mizbeach itself, or does it have a direct role to play in korbanos? You're going to see this over and over again, this tension. But I think that's what the Rambam would hold. The Rabbi would say, that's very nice, but at the end of the day, what do you call it? It has to be related to, do you want to see something related to the institution of Mizbeach? Have it. What is? It is. It's showing the Raiva that I can demonstrate you can have an idea of functional tapuach.
But it's not.
On a more functional level, what he would say is that you need a makum for the deshen. Mm-hmm. That's what he cares about. The Rambam doesn't care about a makum for the deshen. The Raiva would say you need a makum. There's no such thing as things haphazard. Right. There must be a place for the deshen on the mizbeach. You can't just say it's flat. There has to be a place for it. But the Rambam would say no. The Rambam would say that that's not what the deshen's there for. Right, he's saying the deshen there represents something else. It's the analog or the foil, so to speak, to the esh tamid. It represents the end of the korban process. No, one second. By the way, that would be the other reason why. Also, why again? We haven't even seen this yet, but why you could even say the removal of the deshen, right? It wasn't. In other words, if there wasn't that idea, then the true deshen would be what? The chiyuv would be to remove all the deshen, right? That would be the chiyuv.
But you
see, it's not the case. He just has to remove a symbolic amount. We'll get to that later, why that's the case, right?
Okay,
so this is Yuma, I forgot the daf, chaf something. Yeah, chaf amrav. Okay, the Mishnah says. Okay, so every day, including a weekday, Shabbos, and a regel.
Harigilim is like the common one, so.
What? Yeah, I'm sorry, Shabbos, Harigilim, I'm sorry. Regular Shabbos, sorry, my bad.
Torim and Hakohanim es.
Okay, so what would they do? The Kohen would remove the deshen from the Mizbeach. Bein lefanov?
Bein lefanov, bein lacharov.
Translate for me.
During the time.
I don't understand why that was so sinister.
Bizman when?
During the time that the man reads.
Calls out. What's Kriyas Hagever?
He calls the man.
Is that when they like lifted up the kiyor?
No.
Is that the lottery?
No. Okay. That's okay. It's cryptic.
Or
the emotive? Right. Osama okay. Bein lefanov bein lacharov. That's very weird. Why is that weird?
There's no set zman.
Okay, approximately around this time, a little before, a little after. Well, that's very bad. Now, remember, I know we can't escape this bias. There was no clocks, no time in that sense back then, okay? They would look at the at dawn starting, let's say, and then they would know it's time to start. That's why... Now, Yom Kippur, they would do Trumas Adeshen earlier, okay? By Chatzos, why? Bishel... Because the Kohen Gadol back then was very what?
He's going to become weak.
He's very weak, so you know what? We want to start this earlier. Well, that's odd. What's strange about that?
Wouldn't it make him weaker if he had to keep on doing it earlier in the day so he gets less sleep?
No, there's all other ways of understanding weaker. Like, you have to. How do you change the time? You can't do that. If it's at a los, it goes at a los. You can't change the time the earlier. Who says you could do that?
Tonight you light near Hanukkah, tomorrow is...
No. Now keep going. And in the regalim...
And on regalim, they would
make it even earlier and do it at the end of the first hour.
First third of the night, right? Talking about even earlier, right? So I don't understand. So Mimanashach, when's this Zman v'Truma Sedeshen? If you tell me Truma Sedeshen starts at night, which seems like it has to be able to for this to work, so why wait until Alos to do it? Do it at night. And if you tell me it's a din in Alos, then why would you ever do it earlier? How could you ever do such a thing? Okay. By the way, now... It could. Let me ask you a question. Let's say you know the Zman for... Let's take Mila. Mila's a funny one. But let's take Mila. Okay? When is the Zman for Mila? When is the Zman for circumcision start? Hanetz. No. On the eighth day. When does it start? At Hanetz, at sunrise. Okay? Now you have until when to do it?
Until...
For the rest of the kid's life. But really, to the end of the day. End of the day. But when should you do it?
Earlier.
Because of?
Zrizim
Akdil Mitzvos. It's a principle in halacha that the early bird catches the kiyum, so to speak. Okay, you always want, when you have the opportunity to do a mitzvah, do it, I know, do it as early as possible. Do it as early as possible. Okay? Always. Okay? Okay. Why would they do it so early on a regel? Because, basically, the Azar was filled with Jews bringing up the Korbanos. So they had to start early. I mean, it is a massive backlog. You had tons of ashes. The Mishnah did. I didn't. The Mishnah did. Okay, fine. Let's start the Gemara. Okay? Turn the page. That's a good question. No, you technically cannot.
Funny that you chose a sugyah.
From here. Okay? So the Gemara says... Okay. Tanan Hassam.
Tanan Hassam. We learned over there in Abraisa. Ivarim shel karbonos ha-nimtzah hin al-gabei ha-marafa. The limbs of the karbonos that are found on top of the pile.
Pile of the fire pile, right?
Fire pile. Shemishalav ha-hem ha-esh v'niskashu
Abaldayin.
Abaldayin lo nefchu
lepecham. Okay. So what's the case? So you have these limbs, right? These whatever they are, organs, doesn't matter.
Yes.
Flesh, right? Of the karbonos. That had done what? So they have definitely converted over, like they're charred stuff, right? But they're not quite coal yet. Okay, so they're in, again, they're certainly not like raw, but they're not.
They ever get like mold on the mizveah?
Right, right. They're charred chunks of meat, but they haven't turned into yet like coals. Okay? Okay.
Would they ever get like mold on the mizveah?
No, hopefully not. I don't know. Okay, so what happens? Shepaku.
Mizvaku mi
machmas
chom ha'esh u mitoch kach nitzuv enaflu me al gabe hamizbeach.
Lawrence, this happens. Okay, you know what can happen? Anyone ever had this happen before? Guys who barbecue, right? You got like a big thing. No, worse, right? You got a thing that's like very filled with fat, like a big fatty piece of meat. You know what can happen to it? It can pop.
Yeah.
Right. And what happens when it pops?
The oil.
It moves.
Yeah.
Other than that, what happens when it moves? It moves to a different location. Here, what happened? So you have, so that's why the Mizbeach was a mess. You have all this stuff burning. So you have, like, right towards the edge, you have this big chunk of meat, fat, fleshy type thing that is burnt over, and then what happens to it? It explodes, so to speak, and falls off the Mizbeach. Okay? Now you have such a fun halakha question. Why? Because the Gemara says, Im kodem chatzos alaylahu. So if, let's say, it took place prior to chatzos at night,
Dinam klo
Nisachlu. What does Nisachlu mean? We saw this when we did digested, used up. Okay. So we say that we treat it as if it has not been consumed by the flame in its entirety. And therefore, the burning of the korban is incomplete. So if that's true, what do you have to do?
V'lachain.
Okay, so if I'm the Kohen on duty that night, okay, and I happen to walk by and I see, it's 10 o'clock at night, which is before Chatzos, and I see this chunk, this charred chunk next to, on the floor, next to the Mizbeach, what do I have to do? Pick it up and put it back on. Because what has not been completed yet? It's not completely burnt. Meaning the Korban is still in, it's still in play. Okay, it's still in play. But,
until Chatzos.
So now it says, now that Umolim Behen, and if I got benefit from it, if I picked that up and said, wow, I'm going to play meatball with this. meat.
Eat it.
Fine. I eat it. That's worse though. All right? Then I'm over Me'ila. Okay? Now, Aval Ima Achar Chatzos.
But it's after Chatzos. who nechshavim ivarim elu
mecholim. But if it's adachatzos, what are they considered?
It's all used up.
So why didn't they just like like push all of the carbon off and like eat them and then like wait?
Yeah, like
later,
like shoo it off.
Oops, I plead oopsies.
Go on. V'lachei lo yachzir. Oh, a second. Came in shashas chatzos kovas on equal because at midnight, you know what we say? Right. V'lachei lo yachzir. She had to put it back on. The af imol imahem. Okay. Now that should trouble you. That should be very troubling. Why should that be? Forget the Mishnah for a second. Why should that be troubling? What the Mishnah is telling, what the Gemara is telling you is, if this chunk, it's not deshen yet, it's not ash, right? It's not ash. It is korban that has not been completely consumed by fire. If it falls off, let's say at 10 p.m., I put it back on. If it falls off at 4 a.m., I leave it on the ground. Why is that bizarre?
It's independent of what it's actually used up.
Meaning, what should I do?
See, is it ash or is
exactly? I should assess the substance. Who cares about the time? How is the Zman Koveya an identity in the substance? What I should say is, well, let's take a look. Is it ash or is it meat? You can tell. You can tell if it's a coal or if it's not. You can tell.
I know you can tell. It doesn't matter.
But it's a chiddush to say that the Zman is going to be Koveya Tzchaloshim. It's a new idea to suggest that the time...
You can use your discretion. You know how you mean it.
Where do you get this idea from of separating out chatzos? Where does that come from? How can you possibly tell me that I can use chatzos as some sort of border? Where is it? I know what he just said. But the Gemara is saying, where does that come from? So I'm a Rav. What does Rav say? Oh, forget the Mishnah. I said forget the Mishnah.
What do you think the Gemara does?
Lechora
yesh tira. What do you think the Gemara...
But watch the stira. Watch the stira. Yesh tira. So now it turns out we have a serious problem. The Torah itself, shocker, presents a stira in the Pesukim. There's a contradiction in the verses in the Torah. What's the contradiction? So Kasuv, now again, listen carefully. There's a contradiction between the burning, the required burning of the sacrifice. Remember, I put the sacrifice on the altar to burn, right? I've completed my obligation, but the korban must be allowed to burn the entire night until when? Dawn. No, it must stay on the Mizbeach until dawn. So it says, Kasuv, Echad Omer. So how long does the Korban stay on the Mizbeach for?
All night.
Which would therefore mean if a chunk of Korban fell off the Mizbeach, what's the halacha? It's got to go back on. I don't care when. It has to stay on the Mizbeach all night.
It can still finish its process.
But then skip down. The Kasuv Echad Omer. But it also says what? The entire night, what can I do? This is a little trickier. What's his bond for Truma Sedeshen?
All night,
right? Well, now, 1 second. No. Well, that's going to be the answer. But think about it for a second. You have an epic stira here.
Right.
Okay, let me ask you a question. The korban must be allowed to stand in his back until when?
All night.
Good. So does it matter what it turns into? No. No. Right. So okay. Good. So from 6 p.m. until 6 a.m. What can I do anything with anything? Can I do anything with the stuff on the Mizbeach? The answer is no. It is off limits. All that stuff is korban. I don't care what it turns into. Yes, all of it. Until alos, I can't touch it. If all you had was kol halayla v'hiktir, that's what you would think. On the other hand, though, it also says, when does Trumas Deshen start? When is it considered Deshen? When is it considered Ash? At nighttime. Why would it be considered, come on, Yonatan, why would it be considered Ash as soon as Seisuk Chavim hits? Why?
Because then it's not time for doing Korban.
Exactly. This is my Korban ended. Did I burn the Korban on the Mizbeach? I did what I was supposed to do. I put it on the Mizbeach, the fire hit it, and guess what? It's nighttime. So what happens when it's nighttime? All this turns into what?
Ash.
Deshen. It's Ash. So you have a steer in the Torah. The Torah wants both. What? All night for removing the deshen. Harim is referring to deshen. From, well, okay. So look at this. He ha'olad it up. He says, look, go to Masifta guy where it says, umikas of zeh. Okay. Right to the brackets.
Because of zeh, yesh lomo shemitzvas harama ha'deshen.
The siluko. So that means theoretically, I can. Which remember, as Ross pointed out, we know this in the Mishnah. you can go up to the Mizbeach, right, at 6 p.m. at Seis and do what with all the leftover Kabanos there? Remove them, because what is that? It's a Ramos Dashen. So that's what we learn from this Pasuk, right? So that's true, right? So what do we do now? So Mimanoshach, now we have a problem. Forget the charred answer. I know what the answer is going to be.
It also means there could be charred beef in the Tuach.
Yes, which is fine, because as soon as nighttime hits, it changes, okay? Okay, so the Gemara says, HaKetzad. So how do you answer the Stira? It's your cue. We're almost done.
HaKetzad. Eich nisim yashir es Stira psukim halalu ba'ofen sheis kaimu
Shneya, right?
Kach yesh.
I'll tell you how to answer it.
Chalkehu. Relayla l'shnei chalakim. Okay, you split the night into two parts. Zuchol pasuk yan hei b'chetzim. And each pasuk is talking about
right. Chetzel Torah, Chetzel Rama. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So that's why these two guys over here, right? These two guys are wrong. They're so wrong, right? They jump for the abstract first, but they don't understand. They got to work through the Gemara. Because the truth is that this business of dividing the night in half is bunk. So you have a stira. You have a stira. The stira is there's two identity. I'm not defining anything, but there's two identities or two phenomena taking place. There is the required burning of the korban the entire night. And there's also the mitzvah Trumas Hadeshen is a whole night thing. And so what's the answer? It's a cop-out. We're going to arbitrarily use chatzos and say, you know what? At this time, how do we answer the stira? We're going to say from A to B, it's one. And from B to C, it's two. Right? But how does that answer? Yeah, exactly. Okay. That sounds like a cop-out.
We have to figure this out. But once...
What you need to work out for tomorrow, okay? What you have to work on is you have to understand... I want to understand... understand the stira first, okay? How can you tolerate these two ideas? I mean, it's a clear stira. How could that exist? Like, really get into the definition of each one and then show me how the chatzos thing is not so much of a cop-out. It's not a great answer, okay? It's almost like, it's almost like one of these, like white flag, this is the only way we can get out of this problem kind of answer. I'm being honest, okay? That's what you have to work on for tomorrow, plus I add some more sources.